Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work. I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss the best ways to start a subscription service through your online store. If you were offered a system that consistently brought customers back to your store, wouldn't you take it? Most businesses would love to have a consistent block of repeat shoppers, but they don't often take the time to set up the subscription service that would enable this behavior. If you're willing to put in the work to enable subscriptions on your store, you'll be able to connect with your most loyal customers in a whole new way. Today, we're talking about why you should consider this option and how you can get started. On this episode, you'll hear how subscription services work. Subscriptions allow you to create a system where customers regularly pay for predetermined access to your content and services. Next, we'll go over the main benefits and drawbacks you should consider. While it may take more work to set up and maintain a subscription service, you'll be rewarded by more engagement with your customers and more consistent revenue. Then we'll discuss the kinds of changes you would need to make to your website. You can easily add subscriptions as other features, often using key plugins from your hosting platform. After that, we'll talk about some different types of subscriptions you can create. The most common types of subscriptions entail access to digital content or plans for shipping physical goods, but there are other types of subscriptions you can create depending on what you sell on your store. Finally, we'll talk about key mistakes to avoid. As more online providers switch over to the subscription model, we'll advise you on how you can help your customers avoid subscription fatigue. If you're ready to offer subscriptions to your customers, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. Chris, welcome back to the show. Great to see you again.
Good to see you, Ryan.
Today, we're talking about e-commerce subscriptions, which is an interesting topic we haven't really dived into yet. Let's start off by just defining it. What is an e-commerce subscription service?
A subscription service is a model, a business model, where a company continues to deliver ongoing and recurring value and therefore charges ongoing and recurring revenue by having that customer, mostly in an automated fashion, pay them every month, right? So, that's hence the term subscription, right? You sign up and say, I'm going to pay you regularly, and then you're going to give me something regularly, whatever that is, right? Access or product or what have you, service. The nature of the subscription is something that you pay regularly and you get regularly. So the earliest version of this that we saw that I remember in my personal life, right, was kids that worked selling the newspaper, right, and a newspaper wrap they would deliver every morning.
That's right.
And you know, I would ask my parents, right, are we going to buy the paper, right? And my parents were like, no, they had no interest. But we had neighbors that did, right? So every now and then, my bedroom overlooked the driveway. And so depending on how loud the car was, you'd have people driving. I remember the kid on our block or the kid that serviced our block would sit on this is so illegal now, right? But the back of a station wagon, right? With the tailgate down, sitting, hanging on the edge with a whole back filled with newspapers. And he'd just sit there with the lid, the hatchback lifted up. And he'd sit there and he'd just throw papers out. He could just hit your porch.
That's awesome.
With either hand. And you're like, this is so amazing.
Yeah.
we've done that with, magazines and magazine subscriptions. We've done it with TV. We likely do it when, if you watch shows online, you do it with cable or with Netflix. Mm-hmm. So that's a subscription service. You pay regularly and you get new stuff regularly.
Right. Right. Yeah, and I was thinking about, in the old days, like if you're part of a wine club, you got to go into the store and you'd get a certain number of bottles, and now they're just shipping them straight to you. So bringing in the shipping element.
Exactly.
All right. So what are the you kind of already covered this, but what are kind of the basic benefits or drawbacks of starting the service on your website?
The biggest upside here, if you're a store builder and you want to build this stuff, it gets complicated because you have to do subscription stuff. So you have to tie in a recurring collection of revenue. You have to tie in a processing of credit card on a regular basis. You have to process how to, you know, what happens if someone's card fails and you have to circle back and try again and try again. So for store builders, it's more work. For store owners, it's fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. Because you take whatever you would have made off that person showing up and buying something once, and you turn them into a customer every month. Like if subscriptions didn't exist at all, and you said, what do you like more? A person who comes in once a year or a person who comes in 12 times a year? You'd be like, as long as they're buying, the one that comes in 12 times a year. Like, that sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what do you like more? Person who pays you once or a person who pays you every month? And you're like, yeah, I want someone who pays me every month. So the benefit is pretty clear, right? You get a better engagement with customers. You get longer periods of time to develop trust, and you get more money. And if you're a merchant, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. As a store builder, I think a lot of times what happens is we get a lot of the routine stores, and this is more complicated, but it also allows us to generate more revenue, right? The store, building the store itself is harder. So we get to pull in more, but also we're working on something that gives them more money, which often causes them to say, ooh, I want you to do this work, but now that I'm going, I want to do this more work and then this other work. And so there are longer engagements that can drive greater revenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
For store builders. So it's a win across the board.
Right.
And even customers who are signing up are getting good stuff for it.
So sure.
It's a win-win-win.
Yeah. So is it that it's more work up front and then once it's up, it kind of runs itself? Or does it really take more work to maintain the services?
I think it depends on what kind of subscription service you're running, right?
Okay.
So imagine that you're running an access-oriented dynamic. So think about this one version of Netflix, right? Or the new Disney Plus that just came in. If you sign up for Disney Plus, one of the 10 million people that signed up, other than The Mandalorian, almost everything else was restricted access or access to restricted content that you previously didn't have, but they have, and they just put it all out and they don't have to do anything else than make it available, right? Like, so for them, they're going to collect money every month and not have to do more other than, you know, The Mandalorian, which is a new show. They're like, this is great. Right.
Yeah.
If you think about Netflix and the part of Netflix that isn't the new shows or the original shows, or Prime Video from Amazon, that isn't the new shows, the originals, but you think about all the rest, it's just, they either paid a licensing fee to get access to, or they had their own material and they just went here and they're done. If you have a membership site that is protecting your content and your content's already there, if you have a course you've already built and it's already there and people are paying to have access to it, in a notion where the subscription's tied to restricted access, but the items that you're getting access to are already there, it's not a lot of work. If, on the other hand, it is a replenishment service, right, then it is slightly more work, meaning you fabricate something like shoelaces and you fabricate tons of them and they're all sitting in the warehouse. And now every month you send out a pair of shoelaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more work because you have to coordinate or get someone to be involved in the delivery, right? But it's still not a ton of work because you prefab all that stuff, right? You just have a stack of it.
Right.
If you are in the curation model, right, which is you are grabbing some things and saying, this is what should, so there's food subscription services. There are, my friend runs one, right, called The Witch's Box.
Okay.
The T-H-E, Witches, W-I-T-C-H-E-S, Box, B-O-X.com. The Witch's Box. I had to look it up to make sure I get it right.
Yeah.
She runs The Witch's Box, and it is a monthly curated box of things she chooses that are in that world, in that space.
Okay.
And whether you're into tarot or you want a special kind of calendar or whatever, like, she brings together stuff. Well, that's a lot more work, right? because she has to find the things, order the stuff, pull it together, put it in the box, make decisions, push it out, market it, take photos of it. Like, a curation box is more work. I'm on I have one for men's clothing because I'm a larger guy, right? I don't necessarily want to go to Target and wear the same 3X shirt that all the other 3X guys wear, right? So I'm in a subscription box, and these guys make the clothing, right? And so then every month they have to come up with making new clothing and making it the right sizes and then putting it in a box and shipping it to me and curating what fashion is going with what. So curated subscription services can be much more work, right? But it's also, it's so worth it when you're talking about having a highly engaged customer, increased retention. The average subscription service for content access, right? So when you talk about access to content and stuff, the average one, people stayed between 4 and 6 months, according to a study 2 years ago. Right? I haven't seen the latest version of it, but 2 years ago, it was 4 to 6 months, and then they bounce out.
Okay.
Now, that's still better than 2 or 3 months, but it's not as good as 12 months, or it's not as good as, you know, 2 years. But if you're in, and if you're in the replenishment service, you might go, like, we signed up for filters, you know, the air filters that go in your house that attach to the conduits for your air conditioning.
Yeah.
We signed up for that, and we were there for a year, right? Because they were like, every month or every 2 months, or whatever, we'll send you the exact filters for the things, you know, the exact sizes for your house. Because what did I used to do, right? I had to get on a ladder, open it up, pull this nasty, dirty thing out, because I only changed it once every 2 or 3 years, and then drive it to Home Depot and be like, I need one of these, right? And these guys are like, oh, we'll just replenish your need regularly. And so we did that for longer than a year. Yeah. And then the clothing box or other things like it, you might do for years. So retention is a big deal.
Okay.
That customer feeling like, okay, we love it. You know, like I trust this brand. I tell friends about it is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
So, and of course, from the business perspective, every month they can predict their revenue plus whatever their growth is, right? Because it's everyone who signed up last month and all the months before it, plus whatever I sell new this month. So forecasting is a lot easier.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's great.
It's because there's so much subscription today. I think the only downside, or the only challenging part that people have to think about is subscription fatigue, right? The, God, everything is just $10 a month, or everything is just $15 a month. And eventually people get, they get a little tired, right? Like, sure. I don't want to keep getting nickel and dime. But for the right products, right stuff, it's awesome.
Okay. I'm interested in how big of a change would this be for your store? Do you have to completely revamp your site to be a subscription model, or is this like a feature that you can just add?
It's a feature you can add.
Okay.
Now, it you know, for a store builder, it's going to take a little bit of work. Like I said, the most well-known subscription plugin for WooCommerce is one that used to be by Prospress, which now got bought by Automattic. And so it's, you know, an Automattic product, but that subscriptions plugin, would do retries up to 5 times. So when a card for a customer is run and it fails for any reason, it'll wait a little and try it again, and then wait a little, try it again, up to 5 times, and then it stops. So you get that out of the bag, right? But if you go to, if you were building this on another platform and you had to build a subscription component, then I might recommend that you take a look at Recurly. And Recurly does this. They have different rules, right? But they also have access to more payment gateways. And there's things you can do in terms of, like, did the card fail because you changed the expiration date because you got to that end? Well, that kind of process gets automated, and the payment gateway with Visa are communicating enough to get an update to it, and you don't have to do anything. So when we work with Recurly, we take some of the headache away, right? And you're like, this is great. So there's different, I mean, you don't have to rebuild your whole site to do it, but you do have to do some work to make it support subscriptions.
Okay, great. So just a couple episodes, we talked about the benefits of going into a business to business model. And this sounds really similar to that. Is there some crossover here if you're already kind of doing that?
Yeah, if you were doing a B2B play, often what happens is you get into this dynamic of what is the thing I'm selling, right?
Okay.
So in a business to business dynamic, training, for example, is one of those things where you offer a customer access to train material that they don't have to send people to conferences, and they don't have to send them to a physical place, and they don't have to pull them into the same room. They can watch it from their own screens. Mm-hmm. And you're going to charge potentially not a per employee fee, because in a business to business dynamic, you just want to get that one customer and lock them in and be done. And so you might just say, oh, it's $1,200 a month, right? Or $800 a month. And then all your people can log in and get access. So you can create a subscription model that way. And years ago, this was really hard to convince a business to sign up for something like this. Today, businesses sign up for subscription services like anybody else, right? So they're like, yeah. Oh, I use Asana, or I use Teamwork, or I use something else. And our engineering team does task management using one of these tools. The most famous of project management tools is something called Basecamp. And you pay with a credit card. You just, you know, the corporation has some card, they pay, and they don't have to do POs. They don't have to do invoices. They just buy the subscription and they get access to that product, right? So there is some overlap in the nature of what you sell to B2Bs. But,
okay.
A B2B model makes sense for certain kind of products. You likely wouldn't have the business signing up for the witch's box, right? The witch's box is more consumer oriented, right? So depending on what you're doing, that will shift whether you're going business or consumer.
Okay, great. So are there different types of subscription services that you can set up based on the type of company that you are?
Yeah. So
okay.
As I mentioned, in terms of the models, right? If you have an access model, then a store builder builds access to content, right? And so they say, okay, when you sign up and you get, depending on what tier you pay for, you get access to different amounts of material. And so the store builder would go in and configure that. That's different than if you have to ship physical product, right? So in a replenishment service might be, okay, you're going to get charged every month. And as part of that, then someone has to physically ship an item or two items or five items every single month, right? Like you talked about wine before, right? We're part of a wine club. We get bottles every month, right? And so someone has to physically take those bottles, put them in a box with bubble wrap, and then ship it to us. And they can do it in certain states and they can't in others, right? So the store builder has to pay attention to, are you shipping something that causes you to have to pay attention to the compliance, the regulatory compliance of a particular state, so that we either don't sell it to that state and you put that restriction in, or you can only sell a certain amount to that state, or you have to collect additional duties for that state or whatever. And so a store builder has to be somewhat aware of this, right? To be able to say, listen, this is what's going on. In the end, here's the thing, right? The store builder is the one who facilitates the creation of this kind of thing. The merchant, the store owner, is the one who owns it and ultimately has to deal with it. And yet, for as much as ownership lands with the store owner, the store owner doesn't always know what they don't. They don't know what's possible, not possible, et cetera. That's where the store builder gets the best shot at being value add, right? So I have a buddy of mine who helped a client build a subscription service, right? So basically say, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to ship you the product and we're going to charge you monthly. So we're going to essentially ship you the product in advance and then get you on a payment plan. But the payment plan was a subscription. So for 12 months, you'll pay this much and that way you have access to the device. But if those cards failed on the third month, the inventory would be out in the market, but the revenue wouldn't be coming in, right? And so sometimes what you have to do is you have to say to your store owner, hey, heads up, you understand this is something that could happen. And so if this happens, these are some of the things you're gonna have to do. So you may wanna think about your license agreement or your agreement in terms of shipping something out. You may want to collect certain data so that you could potentially follow up or collect on this. You may, like, here's some things to think about. And then it is at the end of the day, the store owner has to make decisions about what they want. But that's where, as builders, we get the opportunity to educate and say, here's some things to think about in this model.
Okay, great. I think a good place to wrap up might be just to go over some best practices to follow, or maybe some big flaws that you definitely don't want to make.
So we talked about subscription fatigue. That's one of the biggest flaws, right? You've got to make sure that you have a way to make, you know, to differentiate and to make people feel like it's an incredible value. If you're just like, here, this is what I do, and everyone else does it too, you're going to end up with people going, I don't really think I buy that many socks, right? So for years, we owned a Costco membership. Yeah. And one of the things Costco has recognized, right, what they tell you if you talk to management at Costco, is that they're solving the toilet paper problem, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to buy mayonnaise in, you know, 50-gallon jars, but they all want to buy toilet paper in bulk. Mm-hmm. So people will pay for a Costco membership when predominantly all they want is toilet paper. But because the toilet paper gets them in the store, they end up buying other stuff they never thought they needed, but they're like, ooh, look, I like gummy worms. Let's buy a big vat of gummy worms. Mm-hmm. So Amazon had to fight that. So Amazon goes, okay, why don't we just create subscription services? So Amazon creates a subscription service for your toilet paper. Now you can buy a small amount of toilet paper, right? Not the big thing, right? You can buy Charmin and a 6-pack and then just say, and I have no idea how often people go through toilet paper. You can say, every 3 weeks, send me another 6-pack, right? Mm-hmm. And so Amazon competed with Costco by creating a subscription service they didn't have before so that people would buy even more from Amazon and less from, say, Costco, right? So part of that dynamic is nobody ever felt like I'm tired of paying monthly for toilet paper. Like no one ever was like, God, I feel fatigued from all these subscriptions. They're like, this is amazing. Now Amazon also sends me toilet paper all the time and I don't have to worry about going out to the store and I don't have to go to Costco. It's awesome. So insofar as there's high value, you can mitigate the fatigue, right? You also have to differentiate. Like what is it that you can do? With Costco, when you went to buy the toilet paper, you could only buy 24, 36, 48 rolls, which meant you had to store that somewhere. Yeah. If you could just tell Amazon to ship you 6 rolls, every 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, however often you need it, you don't have to store that anywhere, right? You just stick it in your bathroom where it normally goes and you're done, right? So having that value add, having that differentiation, having that ability to tell that story and say, here's why we're different, why we're better, is all a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get these dynamics where, and I think not enough subscription services do this, but you get these dynamics where you can create offers for people who are already paying you regularly, right? Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite companies that does this is Bright Cellars, who sells us wine. Bright Cellars sends us wine every month, right? That's how that works. And you're like, yeah, great. I love this. And they have the ability for me to go in and say, I liked this wine or I didn't like this wine or whatever. And they can adjust it and whatever. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's cool. But what I love most about Bright Cellars is that separate from the monthly stuff, they will send me options, opportunities to buy other stuff. So they'll say, hey, Chris, we know you love, you know, deep, rich reds. And we have this 6-pack that we don't have a ton of, but because you are an insider, because you are already a paying customer, we're not going to sell it out in the open market. But if you want it, you have 24 hours to sign up and say you want it. We have this much left and whoever, it's first come, first serve, right? So if you wait on this and you don't get it, that's on you. But if you want, so creating one-time offers or creating special offers for your insiders is also really, really valuable. Mm-hmm. So I think you do those things or you help create those things for others and you find that the subscription model is really, really powerful.
Okay. Chris, this was fantastic. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on e-commerce subscriptions and what they can do for your business. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do,
and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.